Hello, welcome to the June 2022 Two Peas in a Podcast. We're halfway through the year, June the 1st, Trevor.
And we had a lot of rain too. I actually noticed that in May, had 119 millimetres.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, wonderful. I'm waiting for my rainwater tanks, my new tanks to get put in, and I'm not going to lie, I'm watching the rain not going into my tanks, being quite upset actually. I was really... But then, as you saw, because we're podcasting from my house tonight,
things are happening.
Things are happening, aren't they? Like, you know, it just does go to show it's the water that makes a difference. Yeah, it really is the water that makes a difference.
Well, the water, the sun, and the soil are the big factors, really.
Yeah.
What we're talking about tonight, though, is the fourth factor, and that is the moon. And so you still can't ignore the sun, the soil, or the water. But the moon, did you realise that the Farmer's Almanac in the United States has the moon cycle? And they've been telling farmers to plant by the moon for decades, centuries even.
My Opa had an almanac. Do we still do almanacs? I don't know.
Yeah, they still do.
Do they? My Opa had an almanac and he planted according to all that. But I didn't. We sort of paid attention, but not enough. For Christmas, gave Trevor a beautiful astrological calendar, which he thoughtfully started looking at in May. I just want to point that out.
I'm feeling no guilt. Yeah.
But now he's created this fantastic moon planning guide. And you know what? It's really good fun, and there is this great science behind it. It's not this whole kind of woo-woo... Yeah, you know, explain the science, Trevor. Explain the moon.
Actually, the people often ask, how do you know that the moon cycle is working? Well, I tried, I reckon, two or three decades ago, I put carrots in 2 weeks before the ideal planting time for root crops. So I would have, you can try it yourself. If you've got a carrot bed prepared, put carrots in there now. And then wait for 2 weeks, because now we're in the first quarter of the moon cycle, and that's good for leafy greens. Plant leafy greens now.
I got your text message today. Thank you, Trevor. I did get that.
And then the second quarter. So from the new moon on May the 30th through to the 8th of June, that's the first quarter. That is for planting the leafy greens. And the reason is that the soil is high in the... Well, you get your high tides in, so the influence of the moon is gravity upon the waters of the world, and obviously the tides. There are high tide and low tide twice every day, and that is because the moon is exerting pressure, gravity, on the waters of the earth and creating these tides. So that is the reason that people still plant according to the moon, because of the way the water is in the ground. So, you know, we're saying that the sun is still the most influential, the earth, the soil is the second most influential, but the water signs, now there are six water signs, or two mainly, Pisces and Aquarius mainly, but there's four others. Gemini, Cancer, Libra and Scorpio are all called water signs, and they're considered to be fertile signs. So this moon planting is about planting according to the water levels in the soil, because the water levels in the soil are going up and down the same as tidal waters are. And I did an experiment about 30 years ago. I planted carrots now, say in this part of the month, and then I planted them again 2 weeks later in the proper time, because root crops are supposed to be in the third quarter, and the reason is that
the waning moon, third quarter's waning.
That's right. As the water levels start to go down, the carrots will follow the water down, because carrots are one of those crops that is highly influenced by water. And it actually worked. I planted two carrot crops in exactly the same area, exactly the same soil, exactly the same water, and the one I planted 2 weeks before was caught up by the ones I planted 2 weeks later and passed. So by the end of the day, the ones I planted 2 weeks later actually surpassed the earlier ones. So you can prove it that way. And obviously a lot of people have, because there's people everywhere who are planting according to these influences. The only thing is that they're not the primary influences. I mean, I have been living with farmers for 30 years, and I planted just before this heavy rain that we had, because what you normally do is you get the ground ready, you get your seed ready, and someone says rain's coming, you say, right, I'll put it in.
Yeah.
And you just completely forget about the moon cycles. And it does seem to work as well. And there's a certain amount of flexibility in the moon cycles. Although the best time to plant is between the 1st and the 4th of June, even this calendar says between the 9th and the 13th is also a good time, but this time between the 9th and the 13th, they're talking about fruiting annuals. That's things that have flowers and fruit.
Yeah.
So that is the second quarter. Both of those quarters are getting, they call it waxing, because they're going from no moon to a full moon. So both those quarters are good for planting things. In the second half, the third and the fourth quarters, only the third quarter is considered to be good, because now the water is going away. The tide is lowering. And although that's good in the first instance for planting root crops, because the carrots can follow them down, and the root crops are, you know, garlic, spuds, beets, turnips, onions and radish. They will all do exceptionally well if you plant them on around about the, well, best is 19th to 20th, but 15th to 17th. So between the 15th and the 20th of June, if you put your root crops in, they have to be winter root crops, by the way. On this June planting guide, you won't see tomatoes or capsicum or corn or anything like that. This is all, I've just chosen the winter ones. And the other thing that's happening, of course, is that on the 21st, Tuesday the 21st, it's the solstice, it's the winter solstice, which is the shortest day of the year. 9 hours of daylight, 15 hours of night.
Oh, if only we could sleep for those 15 hours, Trevor. I think we're too old. If we're at that stage now, we just still wake up 25 times in the night. We've hit that age. I love the shortest day of the year for some reason. I don't know.
Well, I think here in Gawler, the summers are so hot, everyone hates summer.
Yeah.
I think the summer's too hot, you know.
I know. And with the winter, I don't know, first day of June today, and everyone's like, oh, the official day of winter. And, you know, someone said, oh, I don't know that I'm going to like it. And I thought, oh, for goodness sakes, it was 23 degrees 3 days ago. We are a little bit spoilt here in Australia.
Yeah.
With around all that sort of stuff. So I've got to, I must ask you, all right, the moon planting guide, someone, I was explaining to them about how I find it really fascinating, but it took Trevor to explain it, only because I bought the most complicated planting guide in the history of the world. You're not planting at night. Someone said to me, oh, well, how do you see? And I'm like, no, you're not planting. You can still plant during the day, everyone.
Yep.
Please don't be pottering around there out at night unless you're feeling particularly enthusiastic or you've had a vino or three and you need to kind of exercise it off. But I think what I love about the moon planting guide is that as gardeners, you're always looking for that edge on how to just make your garden that little bit more productive and fabulous.
Yeah, it's called Optimize Everything. You remember the last podcast we did, we talked about sustainability, and so much is changing in this world that one of the clauses I remember from that is Optimize Everything, and that applies to this too.
Yeah.
Basically, if the sun, if your orientation's right and you get plenty of sun, you've got beautiful soil and you're giving them plenty of water, it will grow. Don't worry about it, it will grow.
It will
grow. But this is a matter of optimising that. You need those other things, but if then you've got this calendar sticking on your wall, just go inside and have a look at it and see what it says. And like I'm saying, you can plant your leafy greens now because this is a recommended time, so if you still haven't planted your brassicas, your celery, your lettuce, your chard, your fennel, your dill, your artichokes, your rhubarb, your mustards or your asparagus, well then, you're a bit late, really, to be honest with you, because you should have planted them between March and May, probably, because now it's getting cold.
Yeah, I don't know whether you noticed in the garden, Trevor, I put my brassicas in early May, late April, because it was a bit cold, and the mustards, did you see the mustards?
Late April, early May,
would have been now, yeah. And the mustards, which have just gone
to seed.
Magnificent, but they're actually really good. I think we had enough cold, massive. They're so fantastic. And I actually really love mustard in the garden. I just love those mustards.
Well, it's good for the soil, yeah. Too. It gets rid of the nematodes, apparently.
Yeah, it looks really pretty, actually. Like, it looks really lovely while you're waiting for your brassicas and your celery and all that. And your potatoes. So I planted the potatoes, did all the sort of same sort of things. We sort of spent a couple of days getting all that in because I thought, I've got to get that in because I knew once I was back at work as well, that was going to not happen as quickly. And then I was all excited. And I thought, no, now I have to just sit and wait for the fruits of my labour because it is a little bit late. Even though we've had an incredibly wet May, it hasn't been cold, but I think we're going to have a cold winter.
I think we had January had quite a bit of rain, but February, March were very dry, actually, so everyone's a bit late because of that.
Yeah.
We all just planted recently. I put spuds in. I went to a winery up in Rossa in Lindock, and he says where he is, it's called God's Hill. He didn't actually name it. But he says it's influenced by the ocean, which is only 30 kilometres away. So we're actually still under a maritime influence, which can get rid of frost.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason we dare to put spuds in winter, because normally spuds are a no-no in winter. But so there's a lot of influences, as you can see already, that the rainfall, the dryness of the soil, and, you know, now it's a lateness of the season because things really slow down, so you can actually say don't plant anything.
Yeah.
You know, just do your strawberries, do your asparagus, do your globe artichokes and your permanent crops. That's the normal routine for June, but because it's been so dry up to now, well, people are still planting, including me, because I'm putting in broad beans still.
Well, this weekend I've got beans planned. I've even got a little spot for them, and I've got some. Did you notice how well my sweet potato's doing? I'm not going to pull them up. They're not going red, but I figured I'm just going to leave them.
Yeah,
let's see how long they go. Yeah. Have a bit of fun with it. And that's a part of it too, have a little bit of fun with it.
Yeah.
But I think...
It's called experiment.
It's experiment. What I love about the moon planting is it does feel a bit magical, even though there's a massive science behind it, but it reminds you to put your stuff in. When I was looking at the moon planting guide, like coming up to the podcast, and I was saying to Trevor, I was having a quick look at it. It does make you kind of go, okay, I'm going to grab these. I'm going to just plant this lot. It reminds you to actually space stuff out, because if you're anything like me and you're a bit of a stunt gardener, which means you spend an entire weekend putting everything in and then you're back at work for 2 months or whatever, then you put another lot in, it's all a little bit late.
Yeah.
Whereas Trevor's much better at spacing his out with a bit of a rotation crop. I love that. I love the idea that moon planting actually makes you rotate your crops. So you've planted your sweet peas?
Yeah, I've got 3 lots of sweet peas. I do think sweet peas are... I mean, they don't sound very good in that you just get these flowers in the garden, but the thing is they got long stems, and so you bring them inside and that's where they start.
Yeah.
And there's not many people doing it, so...
Your crop last year was magnificent. That was fantastic. I've got some going in. So I had a whole crop planted, and then I had the gardener mulch a tree for me and... very helpfully noticed a spare, but it's still a little bit heartbreaking. You know, when you come home, it's a bit like the time the gardener decided to whippersnip all my stinging nettles. Remember that tragic year? And I was just like, I didn't want to get rid of the stinging nettles. So they kind of went, but I actually got some sweet peas planted, which I'm excited about, because I definitely wanted some.
They sometimes come through mulch. Peas will come up through straw mulch.
I was hoping, this is pepper tree mulch, I think.
They might do it. I know they do, because they're used to sort of bending, twisting, they come up tree mulch, so I wouldn't get rid of them at this stage.
Oh no, I'm hoping, I live in hope.
Mm.
But then I've got broad beans to plant, just because I actually just really love broad beans.
Well, broad beans, I think, are growing in popularity. There are red broad beans as well, red flowering broad beans as well as white.
Oh.
And of course, the red flowering are most unusual also, therefore but yeah, I do too. They're the only beans for winter. I don't think there's any other beans in winter you can plant.
French beans don't work, do they?
No, I don't think any of the soya beans or any of that does. But if you pick them young, you certainly get a good meal of 10 out of them.
Yeah.
And of course, they're big seeds, so you have a lot of luck with them.
Yeah, and you also feel like you're being really successful, which I think is really good fun, because they are quite mighty you know, they look fabulous in the garden when everything's looking a bit sad and tragic.
Mm, well, except for the weeds. I've got a terrific crop of weeds now.
Oh, really?
Stinging nettle and stuff.
Oh, they're pretty good. Weeds, they're fabulous.
I know.
I've had a giant tree removed. That's my excitement. A massive tree removed. And
a
gosh,
Grevillea robusta for those.
Yes. Didn't that cost a fortune? But when, as they brought it down, they went, oh my gosh, the inside was nearly hollow.
What?
It was nearly hollow. It had that. It was had termite infestation in the past. They didn't have any termites this time. Touch wood, thank goodness. So really, it was a little bit of kismet that I, you know, my neighbour sort of mentioned that the roots are pushing up the foundation of his shed, and my neighbour is absolutely wonderful, so I don't want to upset him. So, and I'd been meaning to take the tree down for a really long time. Lucky, because to be perfectly honest, like the guy said, like a really good couple of winters of...
very old, very big tree.
Yeah, it was very old, very big tree. And we had to take it down before it got too big, really, because otherwise it was going to... We would have needed council approval, but we didn't, thank goodness.
Mm.
But he's mulched it all, so it wasn't a waste. But what a change it's made to my garden and the neighbour's garden. Yeah. The neighbour said, oh my gosh, I could see through my window. I was just like, so what I ended up planting was a few more flowering annuals in the backyard, which I normally wouldn't plant. I wouldn't bother because they just wouldn't get enough sun during winter. But I thought, oh, I'll add a little bit of colour. And planted a few of them and chucked in some more nasturtiums as well.
Yeah, well, I put the seed of the bee and butterfly plants in. That's about 20 species. Oh. Half of them winter, half of them summer. And you don't know what they are, but you plant them. And yeah, they did well this year. So I got quite a few flowering things myself, which is, but I actually put them in recently because it's a time for leafy greens.
It is a time for leafy greens. And it doesn't have to be leafy greens that you're going to eat. It can be other leafy greens. And the flowers and stuff in the second quarter of the waxing moon.
That's right. They go in, the fruiting plants go in the second quarter, and the root crops go in the third quarter. In the fourth quarter, which is for the last week of the month, they, I don't know that I'll ever agree with them, but they say cultivate weed, turn compost, destroy pests. So they're saying that that term, that particular fourth term, is practically useless for planting. Well, I don't think it's stopped anyone planting, actually.
No, do you think, what's the theory behind that? That it's just that things are, is it time to,
no,
you know, gird
levels.
Your loins, or the water levels are...
Well, they're saying that, that's the end of the waning mood, so it's going from a new moon and it's almost heading towards a... No, it's going from a full moon, it's almost heading towards a new moon, so they're saying that's the worst time. And this would only be based on experience. And like I say, a lot of people... You can try it. You can try planting something and see if it turns out lousy. I personally think a lot of other things... And so do the people who write these moons, actually. I think they allow a fair bit of flexibility. I notice that there are... Well, they say it's time to harvest grains, fruit, root crops, and that for better storage. So they're saying it's a good time to harvest things because they will store well there, which, once again, I think is saying that they're running down, they're drying out, they will store well. So it's not entirely a sad story. In the third quarter, they're saying you can use soluble fertilizers and you can prune to retard growth. But they're painting a pretty black picture here, which I think most people... See, there's a number of other things, including transplanting. They're saying it's a good time in the third week of the month to strike tree shrubs, vines and berries.
Okay.
So...
Around the winter solstice this month.
Yeah.
Okay. That's very enthusiastic. And then you can do a lot of harvesting as well. I reckon people should get out there and give it a bit of a go.
Well, you certainly get it on YouTube. There's an untold number of testimonies to the sense of doing it, but... I mean, we're just telling you the fundamentals, the primary part of it. Because, like I say, it's not just the stage of the moon, it's also how they interact with the signs of the zodiac and what that means to things. So I have done a chart here.
I know, it's fantastic.
To show the overlapping thing, but it's not altogether convincing. I think the reason it's not convincing are the things I've already said, in that the sun's more powerful. And that the coming of the rain is also is one of those standards that everyone does. If there's rain coming, you pop it in. It's especially in dry country.
But you know what you could do? Mm. If someone like waxes lyrical about you, you know, your leafy greens, mm. then I watch your secret, you go, oh, the moon. It's the moon.
Yeah, well, you can.
You know, and then people are like, that's so fantastic. They're very impressed, and then they give up, and they think, oh, well, I'll just keep trying what I'm trying. They think they'll be so impressed by what we're doing.
I suppose I am putting it down, but I don't mean to. It's just that optimise everything is what this is at. Yeah. So when you got the first three right, well, then you can optimise it by looking at this. And if you want to hold back your seed for a week or two, it probably is advisable. So to plant by the moon probably is going to give you the best results. It's just that it's not alone in giving you results.
No, if you haven't got the good soil,
yeah.
and you haven't got the right location,
yeah.
you can follow the moon guide till you're pink in the face,
yeah,
and it's not going to help. But if you've got the good soil and the good location,
yeah.
if you don't follow the moon guide, well, you're still going to have a decent crop.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
you're like the icing on the cake, really, isn't it?
Well, it's like I said, it's optimised everything. So if you're a perfectionist, you'll love this.
Yes.
You know, if you really are trying for the optimum result and you really want the optimum result, and there's a lot of people who do.
Yeah.
I mean, they want the biggest flower because they're competitive or because it's a money-making proposition.
They're entering the country fair or something. Competition.
Yeah. So just running over it again, though. So you're on the 1st of June today, and between the 1st and the 4th, you get all your winter leafy crops. So it is basically brassicas, celery, lettuce, chard. And you can go on planting lettuce and chard forever. I mean, you can plant them right throughout summer as well.
Yeah, they're fabulous. And dill, put your dill in.
No,
anything that makes dill and fennel go berserk is fine by me. I'll do whatever it takes to make the dill go berserk.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, definitely do that because those things are actually planted throughout the whole year. There's succession planting going on all the time there. So if you put them in, you'll probably get your best results now. There is, in the hothouse, and they're telling you to transplant your seedlings out now, so I did that today.
Oh, well done. A bit more exciting than my day, just quietly.
They're saying that you do your grafting, so it's a good time to graft. If you've got the scions, or whatever they're called, sitting there, and you're about to graft now, do it now, because this is an incentive for you to go. And they're saying that so far as fertilising go, although the soluble liquid fertilisers are used in the third quarter, now is the time to use your manures and your compost.
Yeah.
So put that on, and when you prune, you're pruning to stimulate growth. So I presume that means you would just cut back to where there's a shoot coming.
Yeah, I think so. That's what I did.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing is too, if nothing else, go outside and look at the moon.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Go out there, pour yourself a glass of hot mead or something, or nice port, rug up, go out and look up to the sky and have a look at the moon. Because we don't tend to look at the sun. But I've been looking at the moon lately, and it's just something to get you out a little bit later.
Yeah, well, you're feeding into their suspicion that you're actually going to go out and plant now.
I only have time at night, Trevor. By the time I get home, it's dark, no.
So well, there's rules everywhere. I mean, planting in the afternoon or transplanting your seedlings in the afternoon is better. But just at present, just about everything you plant will grow. It's just that it will grow slowly.
Yeah, there's a bit of a frost. So Trevor, what are we going to do next month? I'm definitely going to do this planting guide, so I'm going to brag about how wonderful everything's gone. What are you going to talk about next month?
Well, we get the next month. I don't know. June, July, to me, are always strawberry months, so we'll probably have to have a word about strawberries because you prune them back and you fertilise them and you get them tizzied up for the spring because they're probably the most delicious crop. And also, we'll have a report from you on your tomatoes because...
How random is that? Winter tomatoes.
Well, I got these queer cucumbers. I can't understand it. I just had my biggest crop of cucumber.
I picked two last week, yeah. What is that? I know, my daughter-in-law said to me... I know, my daughter-in-law. I said, look, I picked the cucumbers from the garden. She said, what are you talking about, Mum? And I said, no, seriously, I did have them in a polystyrene box. That might have kept the roots a bit warmer.
No, mine did it too.
I don't know. I picked beautiful, beautiful cucumber. Mm. And, of course, they did well because we've had so much rain and cucumbers love rain.
So, yeah, we'll just report on your tomatoes, see if they can winter it out.
Yeah.
And apart from that, we probably are looking at ripping out the tomatoes and preparing it for the new coming summer crop. Everyone, absolutely everyone, had a great tomato year this year. So we're doing the same trick again of five tomatoes for $20, which is probably super, super special price. We're taking orders, actually.
Yep. So we shall we...
People had one last year, they can have another one this year.
All right, we'll advertise that a bit more next month and...
I'll probably be popping in the tomatoes. So if you have a hot house or a sunny spot that is protected under glass or something, you can start planting the
tomatoes.
In July, you can start planting tomatoes, the capuchins and that, because you can get them quite big before you put them in.
Which is, I think, better. Always think that's a bit better. People plant their seedlings too small. They do.
Well, plant them in July or even the end of, well, I don't know, I suppose I better say, well, what are the fruiting ones? So you could actually start next week if you're in a position to do that. Put your tomato seeds in.
Put your beanie on, go out there with the
You need a hot house.
Yeah, you need a hot house.
You need a hot frame or a cold frame or some sort of form of protection, so people who do it will know. But the July is the time when you do start putting in your seedlings. Put seed in your pots and start your seedlings.
Get started. All right, Trevor, well, I will see you under a waxing moon, and next month we will be back again.
Okay, see you then, Michelle.